We're very glad to see you at the Gospel service tonight. We welcome you to the Lord's house in the Saviour's name. We're turning together to the hymn 587 as we begin the meeting tonight. Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God? 587, please, and we'll stand together as we sing. Let's just seek the Lord together. We'll come before the Lord just at the throne of grace. Father, we seek thee at the throne of grace in prayer. We rejoice in thy day, thankful for the Lord's day, the first day of the week. We praise thee, Father, for a day set aside that we can devote to thee, to thy service, and to your worship. We rejoice, Father, that we're able to begin the week with God and to begin the week in thy house. We're gathered here, Father, to acknowledge the blessings of the past, especially the past week. And we've come, Father, to confess just that we need thee to be with us in the week that is to come. We come, Father, we might commit our way unto thyself. We cry that we will know your presence. We plead, Father, that even in the service tonight, that the presence of God will be known and felt. We plead with thee to come down. Remember the words of Isaiah the prophet, "Oh, that thou wouldest come down, that you might rend the heavens and come down." And Lord, our cry is, be with us tonight. Be amongst us in great blessing. And be amongst us, we ask, in great power. We want to pray that this would be a profitable time for us. We pray that it will be a time of rich blessing that will be spent around the Word of God. We praise thee, Father, for the gospel meeting. We ask that you'll ever give us that vision, that concern for the lost souls of our families and of our friends and our neighbours and of this community. We pray, Father, we'll never become apathetic or cold or indifferent towards the great spiritual needs of this community. We ask, Father, for help to reach out as a church with the message of the gospel. We want to plead for these evening services. We lift them up before thee. We're conscious that we need the hand of God upon these meetings, both in great power and in great blessing. We pray, Father, that in these Sabbath evening services, the gospel will be preached in the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost, that the fullness of God's blessing would be experienced. We're asking, Father, that in this house that souls would be saved, won to Christ. We want to pray, Father, that lives will be changed, that they too would be a testimony to the power of the gospel. We remember that prayer of an evangelist of a former time, that you would raise Lazarus's, Father, in this community of ours. Remember that Paul described himself as the chief of sinners. And we rejoice, Father, that there's power in the gospel to reach and to save the greatest sinner in this community. And Lord, we ask thee to do that. We would pray that you'll increase our faith. We ask thee to hear our cry to that end. Your word says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Save us, Father, from a little faith. We ask that you'll give to us great faith. We pray that we'll have, Father, an undiluted faith in our God. We pray that even tonight you'll help us to ask in faith. We pray that in this city and in this community that God will be at work. We thank you for the power of the message that we have to proclaim. We thank you for the power of the gospel. Your word tells us in Romans chapter 1 that it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. And Lord, we pray for that power to be made known, to be made evident amongst us, and that power would be demonstrated in this city. We remember what took place in the city of Philippi when Paul and his missionary team visited that city. We remember Lydia brought to Christ, that religious woman. We remember the damsel with a spirit of divination. And Lord, we want to pray that you do the same in this city, those that are under the influence of the devil. We want to pray that they'd be delivered and set free. We remember the jailer, that hardened sinner, how he and his whole family were one to Christ. The scriptures tell us they believed in God with all his house. And Lord, our cry would be that there'd be similar demonstrations of the work of God in this city. We pray that you would move, Father, in Armagh, as you've done in former times. There have been times of blessing, times of great blessing associated with the past history of this congregation. Lord, we acknowledge today that we need your blessing again, afresh, in all the fullness of its power. We need, Father, thee to do what you spoke of in the book of Malachi, that you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us such a blessing that there would not be room enough to receive it. Lord, we acknowledge we have never lived at such a time, we've never known such an experience when you've sent a deluge of blessing down upon the church, and we're desirous, Father, we're burdened, we're thirsty for such a move of God. And this congregation, Father, as a church, we need such a blessing, we need such a time of refreshing to be sent to us, and we cry for it even today. Lord, begin to work amongst us, even in this service tonight. Remember that the New Testament speaks of signs following the preaching of your word. And Lord, we would pray that you would do that for us, that through, after the preaching tonight, after the message has been delivered, that it would be evident that God is at work in hearts and in lives, and that there would be those in the meeting, those even listening to this broadcast, that would get right with God. So we plead, Father, that you'll hear our cries, and we ask that we would be soul winners. That would be our desire personally, and it's our desire, Father, for the church, the congregation as a whole. We pray that this winter's work will be marked by souls been saved among the children and among the young people, souls been saved in the outreach, souls been saved, Father, in the meetings, and even as a result of the broadcasts that go out, the CDs, and even the radio broadcast too. We pray that every department, Father, of this work will have the hand of God upon it. And we pray, Father, that you'll give us a time just when God is working mightily amongst us. You've assured us in your word that in due season we shall reap. We thank you for the certainty of it, if we faint not. O God, save us from fainting in the work of the gospel. We're conscious that sometimes the circumstances around us can be discouraging. And Lord, we want to pray, help us to live with the eye of faith and to walk by faith. We're conscious of those times of testing. Job said, when you've tried us, you'll bring us forth as gold. And Lord, our desire is to be found faithful. Our desire is to pass that test to your praise and to your glory. And we cry for your help even to that end, and pray that you'll help us in the service tonight and guide us through the meeting now, in every part. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 58, please. The words of Charles Wesley's, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. So the hymn 58, we're standing again to sing, please. Take the word of God, please. We're turning again this evening to the books of Timothy. Turning tonight to 1 Timothy, chapter 6. This morning, we were in 2 Timothy, chapter 4. So turning to 1 Timothy, chapter 6, we want to read some verses together. The burden of the message tonight is to do with money, especially in the light of eternity. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's quite a bit that is said. There's quite a number of references to money, especially in the life of the child of God, particularly in the life of the man of God. So take note just as we read down the verses. We'll seek to emphasize them as we read. So let us hear the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife or strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Many in Christian circles today have that notion, that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Mr. Nicholson many years ago was asked to read the scriptures on a radio station in the United States of America. One of the conditions that were put upon him at that time was he wasn't allowed to make any comment. He wasn't allowed to preach. He just had to read. So he agreed to that, but he said if he came on a verse that he thought needed emphasized, he might read it two or three times before passing on. So let me just read that verse 7 again for emphasis. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith, or let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, notice the words carefully, the verse is often misquoted. It doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. The verse says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, here's the challenge, the warning to the man of God. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then look at verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The wording in the margin, the alternative reading is uncertainty of riches. Good to be reminded of that. There's a lot of uncertainty with wealth and with riches. Charge them that be rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. The idea of the word communicate there is to help or to give to others. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, can you almost sense the appeal, the depth of feeling, as Paul makes that plea? O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And then note, as I said to you last week when we read the end of 2 Timothy, the characteristic ending of Paul's epistles: grace be with thee. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing tonight to this, the public reading of his word. So we welcome you all to our gospel service. Be assured we're glad of your presence, thankful for your faithful attendance of these meetings. Pray that you'll be blessed and encouraged, especially around the word of God. If you're here tonight as a visitor, we want to give you a special word of welcome. Pray that the Lord will bless you in the gathering. It's always good to see the children and the young people that are present. We're very thankful for your attendance and pray that the Lord will bless you for that. And we give a word of welcome to those that are watching our service tonight on the live stream. And our prayer is that the Lord will bless and encourage our media team as well through all their work and efforts. Remember, the meetings, the Lord willing, for the incoming week. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee, meeting downstairs in the church hall. Tuesday night at 6:45, both the children's bright hours recommence, both here in the church hall and down in the band hall in Killaloe. Please make those meetings known and encourage the children to attend, and pray for the Lord's blessing upon the work among the children. Wednesday night at 8, the midweek service, our prayer meeting and Bible study. We emphasize to you the importance of that meeting. This week we're having another missionary deputation, special visit of the Boyle family, missionaries in Mexico City. They're here in the province for approximately 3 months. They'll be giving an update on their work. The Lord has been using them there and the work has been developing. They'll show a video presentation and there'll be an update report given. We encourage you to avail of the opportunity of hearing the Boyles. They'll be here as a family. The Reverend Jason Boyle, his wife Danielle, and their two boys, Jonathan and Caleb. So we encourage you to come, and remember there will be a missionary offering taken at the close of the service. 8 o'clock on Friday is the Youth Fellowship, beginning again for the new season, commencing with a recreation night for the young people. So we encourage all of the young people of secondary school age and up to come along and bring your friends on Friday night to the fellowship. Next Lord's Day, the 17th of September, 10:40 the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning service. It will take the form of our Sunday school prize giving. The children will take part and sing for us. I'll bring a children's address, and we will give out the prizes, the attendance prizes for last season to the children. So come yourself and invite your family and friends, your relatives. It's an opportunity to bring them under the sound of the Word of God. 6:30, the evening gospel service, the preacher, Mr. Andrew Irwin, from the Whitfield College, a Whitfield student. Our brother's the son of the Reverend Wesley Irwin in the Rutherglen Church in Scotland. Andrew has been living in Northern Ireland before he went into the college and was a member of the Lisburn Church. So remember Andrew as he comes to minister. You'll enjoy his ministry, and we value your prayers as we go down to preach at the Kilskerry Conference next Sabbath evening. Please remember the times of prayer, the importance of them. We're thankful to those that gather faithfully to seek the Lord before the meetings, and we want to encourage others to join us for those seasons of prayer as well. Remember the baptismal service in Tandragee on the 26th of September. Speak to us as soon as you can if you'd like to be baptized that evening. Just remind you of the ministry meetings that are planned for just after the harvest services with the Reverend Johnson. Those will commence on Sunday night, the 8th of October. The harvest this year falls on the 1st and the 2nd, Sunday the 1st, Monday the 2nd. So the following Sabbath evening, Sunday night the 8th, the Lord willing, the Reverend Johnson will be here to commence a study on Aaron the High Priest, and he will bring a life-size model of Aaron with him as he brings us night by night through all the garments of the High Priest. So that will be very special. We'd encourage you to set those nights aside. That will be Sunday night right through to the Friday evening of that week. So please make those meetings known and pray for the Lord's hand to be upon them. Remember the Access NI checks that are necessary for all involved in children's and youth work. If you weren't able to make an application back at the beginning of the year, we encourage you to do so as soon as possible. Let me know if you want to do that, if you need to do that, and we can provide you with the details, the sheet with all the details upon it. We remind the young people of the Auchnacloy Rally tonight, the first of the new season at 8:45. Matthew Hunter from Randallstown is testifying, and Hannah Armstrong is ministering in song. The Whitfield College graduation service is tomorrow evening at 8 in the Martyrs Church in Belfast, and the moderator, the Reverend Samuel Murray, will be ministering at that service. The Dungannon Ladies Conference is on Monday night week, the 18th, at 8 o'clock. Miss Charlotte Cackey and Mr. Peter Mander will be the singers, and Miss Vi Dawson from Randallstown is to be the speaker. So we encourage all of the ladies from our own congregation to make your way over and give support to that special service. Just remind you of the Mission Board's Children's Workers Seminar next Saturday in the Market Hill Church. We encourage all involved in the youth and children's work to go along and avail of the opportunity of the training of the Reverend McKee and the children's evangelists. Remember, you need to register on the Mission Board website online before you go along next Saturday. A couple of updates that we got just this afternoon. Our brother Norman had a little fall in the hospital on Friday evening. We're thankful he's doing a little better today than he was just yesterday. So pray for the Lord's continued hand to be upon his servant. The Reverend Gordon Dane, a former moderator, the minister of our Cross Guard Church, had a bicycle accident yesterday and sustained some severe injuries. And our brother's being treated in hospital for those injuries, and would value just the prayers of the Lord's people at this time. So keep him also before the Lord. We're going to sing the words of the hymn 312, please, just before we come to the scriptures tonight. My faith hath found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. 312, please. Yeah. Let's just bow together briefly in prayer. Amen. Father, we do remember your servant Norman tonight. Be near to him. You've said you give power to the faint, and to them that have no might you increase strength. And we pray that you'll strengthen our brother at this time. Pray for the Reverend Dean also. May he be conscious of your nearness in the hospital. Guide the doctors. And we plead, Father, for the touch of God, that your servant might have a full recovery from his injuries just at this time. Lord, abide with us around the word. We thank you for the one of whom we have been singing. We thank you for our Saviour. We praise thee for the sufficiency of his sacrifice, that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. We rejoice that we're able to say by faith today, it is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Lord, we ask thee to touch hearts in this service. Come in great power, we ask. Your word is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, those hearts that have been hardened by sin. We pray that they might feel and experience the mighty power of the word of God, the transforming power of the word of God in this service. Lord, answer these our cries in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 is our text tonight. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. A number of years ago, I read an article in the European newspaper. It was an article that contrasted the lives of John D. Rockefeller Sr. With Bill Gates. Bill Gates of Microsoft. John D. Rockefeller was the founder of the Standard Oil Company in the United States of America. Whenever John D. Rockefeller Sr. died, his estate was worth $900 million. And the article that I read suggested that that $900 million was worth a whole lot more than Bill Gates's $80 billion or thereabouts as he had at that time, because of the manner in which money had devalued. John D. Rockefeller made some very interesting quotes in his lifetime. He said on one occasion if he hadn't tithed his first dollar, he wouldn't have been able to have tithed his first $1 million. He'd got into the habit of tithing, which was a very good thing. And as his wealth increased, he was able to tithe the greater amounts as he had the smaller at the beginning. That's a challenge to our hearts tonight as well. The quote especially from Rockefeller I want to emphasize at the beginning tonight is, he said that the poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money. That's an interesting statement coming from a multimillionaire. The poorest man I know is the man who has nothing but money. And maybe that's a description of you tonight, someone in the meeting or someone listening to the service. You have nothing but money. Maybe you're a wealthy person. You have what sometimes would be described as stacks of money. Sometimes in this part of the world, the expression is used of a person that they're rotten with money. And maybe that's true of you. But yet, that is all that you have. That is all that there is in your life. Because you've no peace. You've no happiness. Your conscience troubles you. Maybe you're lonely, no friends. Your health is breaking. And maybe most serious of all, you're terrified of death and you're terrified of eternity and you've no hope for your soul as far as eternity is concerned. Just think of that. Just think of a life with nothing, nothing but money. How sad, men and women, how very sad that is. Do you remember the warning of the Saviour during his earthly ministry? He said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's a common mistake. It's a great mistake in the materialistic society in which we live today. What the Lord Jesus was saying or teaching was that money is not the all-important thing in life. And I pray the Spirit of God might impress that upon your hearts tonight, whether you're saved or unsaved in this meeting. Money is not the all-important thing in life. There is more, men and women, much more to this world and to this life than making money, making lots of money. So I want us to consider for a little time tonight something of what the Bible says about money, and especially what the Bible teaches about money in the light of eternity. Can I say something to you first of all about money and the soul? Just think of this. Ask yourself tonight, which is more important to you, making money or the salvation of your soul? Can I say to you, can I stress to you, men and women, that is a vital question. Don't dodge it. Don't try to evade it. Take time tonight to consider it carefully. Which is more important to you? The making of money, the making of lots of money, or the salvation of your precious soul? In the book of the Revelation, there is a list that is given, quite a lengthy thing, lengthy list. It's a list of things that men in this world trade in. At the top of the list, as you would expect, is gold. Do you know what's right at the bottom? The very last thing that is mentioned, it is the souls of men and women. And I wonder, men and women, is that an apt description of you tonight? Your life is spent running after this world's goods. That's really all you ever do. That's all you ever focus your time and your energy upon, running after this world's goods. And the last thing, the very last thing that you think about, the very last thing that you're interested in, the very last thing you're concerned about, just as in the book of the Revelation, the very last thing on your list of priorities is your soul. If that is the case, let me say to you tonight how wrong, how sad, how tragic that is. Do you remember Luke chapter 12? Do you remember the farmer? The Bible teaches, it was a story that the Lord Jesus told. And that farmer's whole life, his entire life, was just taken up with business, taken up with his farm, taken up with his profits, and the money that he had made and the money that he was making. It's very interesting what is not mentioned in that chapter, because he had no mention, no thought of God. He was taken up, his whole life taken up with his farm, to the neglect of his soul. Do you remember how God described that farmer? The Lord said he was a fool. And I want to say to you tonight, men and women, in fact, I need to say to you this evening, that if all that you ever do is to run after your work and your property and your money, if you never give any time or attention to spiritual things, then you're just as foolish as that farmer was. You too would have to be described by the Lord as a fool. Just stop for a moment, men and women, and think of this. Ask yourself, how much of your money, how much of your property will you take with you when your life is over? All of the money that you're amassing, all of the property that you're accumulating, all of the wealth that you're gathering together, how much of that are you going to take with you when you go from this world, from this scene of time? Remember the pharaohs, the great pyramids in Egypt? When the pharaohs died, everything that they owned, every possession that they had, was put into the pyramid or put into the tomb with them. They were buried with everything that belonged to them. And they thought that in doing that, they were going to take it with them to the next world, to the next life. So how much, men and women, do you think you're going to take with you when you go from this scene of time? Well, the answer is nothing. Absolutely nothing of what you have. Do you know the story of The two men walking down the road behind the coffin of a very wealthy man, mourners at his funeral, talking about the land that he had, so much land, so much money. I'm sure you've been in those circumstances yourself. And the inevitable question always comes around, how much did he leave? Well, one man asked that to his friend. His friend was very sharp, very astute. He said straight back, everything. And I pray the Lord might burn that into your heart tonight. How much will you leave? You know, people are always interested in that. How big was their estate? How big was their will? How much money did they leave to their family and to their friends? Well, the thing that should concern you is you're going to leave everything. Everything that you have. That's why I emphasized that seventh verse to you in the passage as we read through it this evening. We brought nothing into this world. That's the way you come into this world or into this life, with nothing. And it is certain, men and women, that we can carry nothing out. Isn't it interesting? The word carry, is that what people want to do in those sort of circumstances? They want to carry stuff with them, gather together as quickly as they can. You see those circumstances whenever refugees are having to flee their home in great haste, that they're always gathering stuff together and they carry things with them, despite the extremity of the circumstances. Well, you're going to carry nothing with you from this world and from this life. Just as certain, men and women, as death is the fact that you will take nothing with you when you die. I want you to realize this evening, the only thing that you possess that you will take with you from this world and this life is your soul, your own precious, eternal soul. And it's vital tonight, men and women, it is vital that your soul is saved, and saved by the grace of God. So can I ask you, in the meeting this evening, the pointed question, how is it with your soul? Is it well with your soul tonight? You know the words of the hymn, it is well with my soul. Can you say that tonight? Is that your testimony? Are you sure that your soul will go to heaven whenever you die, your life is over? Can I ask you, would you sell your soul? Would you be one of those that would trade your soul? Just take your time in pondering that. Don't be too quick to answer. Don't be too hasty to reply. Remember how serious a business that is, trading or selling your soul. There was a Canadian businessman, Herbert Thompson, became the first Baron Thompson. He owned 180 newspapers, 290 other companies, started to make his money and his wealth out of radio stations way back at the beginning of the 20th century, multiplied the number of radio stations that he owned. At one time, he was worth $300 million. And he was asked this question one day by one of his colleagues, one of his business associates, what would you give to own the New York Times? As quick as a flash, Herbert Thompson replied, I think I'd mortgage my soul. He was so desperate to own it. It's not a staggering answer, men and women. In fact, we'd have to say tonight it's a fearful answer. To mortgage, to trade, to sell your soul for something temporal, something of this world that will not last, that you cannot take with you from this life. Some of you might be familiar with the name of the pop star Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper is the stage name. In fact, you might be mistaken by the name Alice Cooper. It's taken from an 18th century witch. Alice Cooper is actually a man, Vincent Damien Furnier. He's about 75 years of age now. He made a deal with the devil many years ago. As a young man, he would give his soul to the devil if the devil would give him fame and popularity. It's not a sobering thought tonight, men and women. Fearful. It reminds us, it underlines for us, there are people in this world who would sell their soul. They would damn their soul in hell for money, for business, or for position. And the question I put to you in the gospel service is, are you one of them? Are you one of those such people? Do you remember what the Bible says about Esau? It says that for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. Now just think of that. Think of what Esau did. He sold his birthright. He sold all the spiritual blessings that could have been bestowed upon his life and upon his soul. And what did he sell his birthright for? Just for a dinner. For one morsel of meat. He placed so little value upon the things of God. The Bible says of Judas Iscariot, he traded his soul for 30 pieces of silver. How foolish that was, men and women. But the question for you tonight is, will you be like him? Will you trade your soul for a few pounds, for a little of this world's wealth? The king of Sodom said to Abraham, remember, whenever Abraham had rescued Lot, brought him back again, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons, or in the margin it says, give me the souls, and take the goods to thyself. And men and women, we want to warn you this evening, that is what the devil is saying to you. That is what the devil is whispering in your ear. The devil says, you take the money, you take the property, you take this world's goods, but give me your soul. The devil wants your soul. The devil wants you to sell your soul. He wants you to damn your soul. And that's what we want to warn you of in this gospel service tonight. Do you remember the words of the old gospel hymn? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Even if you gained the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? So money in your soul. The other thing I'll emphasize is money and salvation. Let me make it clear, men and women, money cannot save you. Money cannot get you into heaven. Money can buy you entertainment, but it cannot buy you happiness. There's a world of difference between the two. Money can buy you a crucifix to set on your table or hang around your neck, but money cannot buy you a savior. Money can buy you a church pew, but it cannot buy you a place in heaven. So I want to emphasize that. I want you to be in absolutely no doubt of that this evening. Money cannot save your soul. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much of that money you want to pay into the church. Money cannot save your soul. That's the clear teaching of the scriptures. Remember, Peter said in his epistle, we are not redeemed. Notice, underline the word not. We are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. It's emphasizing the fact that all of those things, even silver and gold, they're just temporal, corruptible things. But that's not God's way. That's not the procedure, men and women. That's not the plan of salvation. The Bible's very clear. We're not redeemed. Our soul cannot be redeemed with those things. You think of what Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God can be purchased with money. And you know, there are multitudes that think like that. Multitudes that sit in church pews and have, even on this Sabbath day. Multitudes that are deceived by that notion. They think that the gift of God, they think that eternal life can be bought. It can be purchased with money. It can't, men and women. You can't buy your way into heaven. Remember, Solomon said that riches profit not in the day of wrath. Remember that there is wrath. There's eternal wrath for the soul that dies without Christ. And if you die without the Savior, go out into a lost eternity,
Riches will not profit you. Riches, men and women, on that day will be of no value. They will have no merit whatsoever as far as your soul is concerned before God. It's in Luke chapter 16, the great example of that, the great warning, the rich man. The Bible says he was a man that was dressed in purple. That's an indication that he was a man that had the wealth of a king. He lived the life of a king. But his money couldn't keep him out of hell. The Bible says that he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He went to a lost eternity. So men and women, heed the warning tonight. The very powerful warning of the Word of God. Your money cannot save your soul. The message of the Bible, men and women, speaks very clearly to every heart. And it says that salvation cannot be bought with this world's money and with this world's finance. I tell you what money can do. Money can damn your soul. Money can drag you down into a lost eternity. There's a very powerful illustration of that. There was a Turkish wrestler called Yusuf Ismail. His fighting name, his wrestling name, was the Terrible Turk. Way back at the beginning of the 20th century, he went across to America, really to put on some exhibition fights. There was an American wrestler at that time called Strangler Lewis, and the Terrible Turk and Strangler Lewis, they set up a wrestling match together. The winner was to get $5,000. Now, you would know, way back in the 1930s or thereabouts, the late 30s, $5,000 was a lot of money. Yusuf Ismail asked that if he won, he would be given the $5,000 in gold dollar coins. He wanted the equivalent wealth of it in coins. Well, the Terrible Turk won. He won the bout. He won the $5,000. He was sailing back to Europe again after his fighting tour in the States on a ship called the SS Burgoyne. The SS Burgoyne got into difficulties, was sinking. Hundreds of passengers went down with the ship that night. He fell overboard whenever the staff was trying to evacuate the passengers. One thing that he did, he had a great money belt that he put around his waist. That's where he carried all his wealth. That's where he had all those gold dollar coins. In fact, some would say that he hadn't just the 5,000 that he won in the bout with Strangler Lewis. He had up to as much as $10,000 on him the night the ship went down. So you can imagine, when he fell overboard with a money belt around his waist, and all of that money, all of that weight, it dragged him down. He perished. He drowned in the ocean. His money dragged him down to his death. And men and women, I want you to be warned tonight, as you think of that story, that your money could do the same to you. Your money could drag you down, not just into physical death, but your money could drag you down to eternal death, to a lost eternity. Isn't that what Paul said? Look at the verse just before our text tonight, the verse 9. But they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yusuf Ismail drowned in the ocean. What a terrible death that must have been. There's something, men and women, more fearful, something even more terrible, and that's if you were to drown eternally. Your soul was to drown in destruction and perdition. And notice the connection that Paul makes with that drowning with money, your money dragging you down to lost eternity. So beware, men and women, tonight. Beware of the love of money. Beware that your love of money doesn't take you to hell or doesn't drag you down to the lake of fire for all eternity. The Saviour said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but were to lose his own soul? Just consider that tonight. What would you be profited if you got everything that this world has, all the wealth that this world possesses? And remember, that is not possible. No one has ever achieved that. No one ever will. But if you were to gain the whole world, and yet you died without Christ and your soul was to perish, what benefit, men and women, what profit would there be in that? What a warning those words of the Saviour's are. I say to you just in conclusion, there are riches greater, far greater, than this world has to offer. Whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he spoke about unsearchable riches, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Bible says of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, when she heard the testimony of the shepherds, that she pondered all these things in her heart. Well, men and women, there's a statement worth our consideration, worth pondering in prayer at great length. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Notice the word, unsearchable. Sometimes Forbes publishes that list of the world's wealthiest people. It's always possible to quantify how much they have, the wealth, and the figures are getting bigger and bigger all the time. Men like Bezos and so on, their wealth is increasing nearly every month. It's always possible to quantify the wealth they have. But that is not true of Jesus Christ, men and women. The unsearchable riches can't be described, could never be valued. You know that Revelation 20 speaks about the bottomless pit. That's a very interesting subject as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. But we could say the same tonight of Christ's riches, men and women. They're bottomless. It's something that's beyond our ability to be able to fathom. And I want you to know tonight that you can experience, you can enjoy those riches, the riches of His grace, the riches of His mercy. You can enjoy all of the riches of Christ if you will come and accept Him as your Savior. Do you remember the story of Abraham's servant, and he was sent to find a bride for Isaac, and he sent them off to Paddan Aram, and it was there that he found Rebekah at the well. Do you remember that one of the things that the servant did when he got to the home of Laban, he set out some of his master's riches. He wanted the family and he wanted the bride. He wanted Rebekah especially to know, to get some idea of the riches that would be hers if she would come and be united in marriage to Isaac. So men and women, we want you to know tonight, as you think of the unsearchable riches of Christ, we want you to have some idea of the riches that can be yours eternally, if you will come and be united by faith to Jesus Christ as your Savior. The reality, and the world doesn't know anything about this, the world cannot understand this, men and women, but you could go home tonight. You could go home from this meeting this evening richer than you've ever been in all your life before, if you'll only but trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Money in the light of eternity, men and women. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I pray the Lord will speak tonight through His word to the saving of your soul. 273, a hymn of invitation. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Just the first two verses, hymn 273, will stand again to sing, please.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the good word of God. We praise thee for the gospel message. We thank you for our Saviour. We thank you for his death. We praise thee for the ransom price. We thank you for the precious blood. Lord, we praise thee tonight, all in this meeting, all of us that know Christ. We want to praise thee and thank you for the great price that you paid for the salvation of our souls, for the redemption of our soul from a lost eternity. We thank you, Father, that it pleased thee to send your Son to shed his blood for us on Calvary's cross. We want to pray that there'll be those in the meeting tonight that will come, just as we've sung, come to Christ for salvation and come for the cleansing of all of their sins. We acknowledge tonight that salvation is of the Lord. Father, we cannot do a thing to create concern within the hearts of men and women or to bring them to Christ in salvation. We ask thee to come by your Spirit and do that great work of regeneration. Our prayer is that there will be some, Father, that will be born again in this meeting. We pray that none will leave the meeting this evening without settling the matter of their soul's salvation. We ask now that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.